Well, thank you for the worship team. Amen. So we took a little of yours, right? And I had no idea. We weren't communicating well other than Pastor Don and I communicated pretty well. I apologize to those of you that probably needed me to communicate better, but it was kind of vacation too. But it all came together. And actually, Deanna and Phyllis, who was our administrative assistant at the Sedona Church, they were kind of practicing, but then they found out Shirley could sing and sings on your worship team. Like, man, is that just heavenly how God puts his people together? And then the bass player comes. What's your name again? Eric? And then Deanna runs him home to get his bass player. Is that just sweet, too? It all came together. I'm so thankful. Hey, I'm staying down here for a minute just because I was reminded. I think my time at the Church of God in Phoenix, Arizona, when I was a little boy, I think it ended about age 8. I'm not sure. My dad over here could probably say, give the specifics. But I remember as a little boy, growing up in that church, and when they excused the children back in my day to go back with all the other children, I just threw a fit and did anything I could to convince him and my mama to let me sit with them and my grandparents about row 3 or so. And then there was this guy with this blasting voice named Reverend Denton. And back in the day when they pounded the pulpit, I mean, you didn't dare fall asleep. Boy, could he preach, though. And I didn't have a clue what he said, but I was listening, and I was looking past him when I couldn't understand at that cross right there. I guess that's the cross, isn't it? Yeah, so talk about memories and reminiscing and how thinking about how God got you to this place, because I did not. After I left the church, I didn't want, oh, I knew who that Jesus was, but I wanted that thing like the children. What a perfect day. With what was said here for the children's moment, that's exactly what I did. I tended to pour, even though I like chocolate milk, that's a rotten illustration. But that chocolate, sin-wise, I was pouring a lot of that into me, wanting my way, even though I knew Jesus was the way. But it wasn't until, like John said, 1995 is when I finally turned around and said, Jesus, I know who you are. I know you've been chasing me and you love me. And I turned around like the story of repentance, sincere repentance and confession, asking him into my heart to be my Savior and Lord all at the same time. And thankfully, I've never looked back. It's the best decision I ever made in my life. So here's the deal today. Being that it's, you know, it's Independence weekend, isn't it? 4th of July weekend. I know that 4th of July has come and gone, but it's still the weekend. So I want to stay on that point with the message that God's put on my heart to share with you. So the message is the truth about freedom. And if you want to follow along, I believe we'll have the scripture. I'm going to be very simple today where I'm not using a lot of scriptures. It's basically John 8, 31 through 36. So you can turn to your Bibles if you want to on your phones, and the real Bibles in the pews possibly or the chairs in front of you. But as we get going today, I'm reminded of this, about the message is the truth about freedom. So once upon a time, we're not going to read that just yet, but once upon a time there's this little country boy. You ready? Maybe some of you have heard of it. I don't know. But he's living in a home out in the country, no indoor plumbing. And the little boy hated going to the outhouse. Remember those days, some of us? Or we've certainly heard about the stories from relatives. He just hated it. It was hot in the summer and it was ultra cold in the wintertime. Smelled all year long. And one boring day after a huge spring rain, he decided to attempt to push that outhouse into the river, the raging river, the creek. And so by golly, he succeeded. He rocked it and rocked it and boom, it went horizontal and fell into the creek and washed away. Well, that night his dad confronted him. He said, someone pushed our outhouse into the creek today. Tell the truth, son. Was that you? He said, I cannot tell a lie. Yes, father, it was me. He said, well, son, after dinner then I'm taking you to the woodshed. Everybody know what that means, right? I know that's an old term, but that means. But dad, the son argued, in school we learned that George Washington, when he was little, he chopped down a cherry tree and he didn't get into trouble because he told the truth. We all know that, right? But father, the father said, son, George Washington's father wasn't in that cherry tree. Do you get it? If you don't, see me after the service. So the truth about our nation's beginnings. Let's go there. This is a delicate subject these days, but I'm still a proud American, and I believe this, that this great nation was founded not by religionists or deists, but by Christians. Not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. 52, as I studied for years now, especially becoming a Christian, it's like, well, what is our heritage? Well, what I come to find out is 52 of the 55 founding fathers were Orthodox Christians. They went to Orthodox churches. And many of them, here's the cool thing too, have you ever heard of the American Bible Society? Back in that day, it's like the Gideons of today where, you know, the Gideons are trying to get Bibles in every motel across the planet. Well, back in that day, the American Bible Society, in the early part of our declaring our independence from Great Britain, they wanted to get Bibles into every American's hands. And so these guys were on the American Bible Society. Even Thomas Jefferson was part of Virginia's American Bible Society. That's pretty cool, don't you think? So the Declaration of Independence was formed with the 13 independent colonies. They came together using God's principles. Woo, I like that. So seriously, though, it's in Jesus where our freedom is really found. Just like everything that has been painting toward this moment of the service today, everything is pointing toward this truth. After all, when you think about the founding fathers, I'm not going to get off this point just yet, but they found their freedom in Christ first so that they could fight for the freedom on earth in a new country. So they didn't have it out of balance. Now, some of you, you know, sometimes even in the church these days, with the world that we live in, some might be doubting, or maybe I've made some mad already with some of the statements I've made. So, respectfully speaking, I would just ask you, in the day of Google, you can Google it, and that doesn't mean it's necessarily the truth, but you can weed through the stuff and ask for God's help, and you might find the truth about the history of our founding fathers. One thing I found when I did that, I'm not asking you to do anything I've never done, I went on that search, and I found that most last will and testaments of the founding fathers prove that they were indeed Christians, Christ followers. The majority were sold out Christians. And so these United Colonists and the founding fathers, they fought for their freedom and their independence from England and from a tyrant, a king, King George III. And they all declared that one day, right, that we celebrate. They declared freedom. Freedom! All right, we got freedom. Now we're going to fight for it. I think sometimes we forget how many years it took to go from declaring the freedom to having the freedom. But what a wonderful thing that they could scream and holler and jump and shout for that independence that they gained, thanks to God. So now what I'm going to do, if you'll bear with me today, is I'm going to look at America, and then we're going to put a spiritual application from the Bible on it and go back and forth, and let's just see where God takes us today. But basically, a simple scripture right here from the Gospel of John, if you'll read it with me. It says this: to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's just stop there for a minute. Sound good? We'll get to the rest of it in a minute. So as the Christians, we run into the church like we did today. I don't know if many of you were jumping and clicking your heels. Sometimes I like to click my heels in church. I love Jesus so much and the freedom that he gives me. But we run in here as Christians, basically. When we find Jesus, we're jumping, shouting, hollering, aren't we? If you're not doing it outwardly, you're certainly doing it in here. It just depends on what background you have and the way that you worship God. But we are celebrating, basically, not the freedom from the King of England back in the day like they did, but we're celebrating freedom from the devil, from the enemy that has been owning our lives prior to that time where we made the decision to follow Christ. And from our sins, you know that, again, I just can't believe how God works everything out. We didn't talk, but when you see that chocolate milk go in there, that's that taintedness, isn't it? That we are bent toward evil, and we just keep pouring more chocolate milk in and getting more like chocolate instead of the purity of the symbolism of the water. So that's just cool, the way it all works out. So here's the real truth about your freedom. You ready? I might sting some of you today, but basically, as Americans, you're not really free. Ready for that? So concerning your independence, that's what I'm talking about. Let's talk about as a country, first of all. You ready? You still awake? Okay. So after signing the Declaration of Independence, John Adams wrote to his dear wife Abigail. He said this will be the most memorable epic in history of America. I'm apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. And he said this. He went on to say, it ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. So see, he saw that it was God that made it possible. It was God that did it. Woo! So John Adams, he was free. He was independent. He realized they had that and they were celebrating that, but he also understood it was God that did it. So think about the years of people's prayer and getting on their faces before the Lord. Please, Lord, deliver us. And that day finally came. They were free under God. And the Liberty Bell, I even love this. It has an inscription on it from Leviticus. So next time you go checking it out, look at that. Leviticus 25:10. It says, proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. So during the Revolutionary War, as they're fighting for that freedom after declaring that they're going to have it, they couldn't get loans. So they're hard-pressed in the middle of trying to win this war against England at the time and the king. And so it was so bad that they couldn't fight the war. So after a Sunday's worth of worship and preaching the Lord in a Presbyterian church, it's told that the preacher preached the message and they worshiped Almighty God, and then he took his garment off, and underneath he had his own fighting clothes, and he joined the people. And they took their Watts hymnals. So they sang with them first, but then they took the Watts hymnals because they didn't have the wadding to fire their guns. And so they used that in order to continue to fight and fire guns. Is that incredible? Yeah. That's the history of our country. So they were delivered by God and they knew it. And they were free under God and they were independent under God. So how I can relate to this, sometimes I just tell really different illustrations than some pastors, but this one reminded me of Deanna and I are blessed with 9 grandchildren. And a few years ago when we still pastored in Oregon, Sophia was a new walker, you know, so she was old enough, maybe one, a little over one, and she decided she could walk. So you know how that goes with a baby, don't you, or a toddler? They have independence all of a sudden. They don't need you anymore. Don't. And so the funny thing is, as I watched them visit our house, it wasn't kid-proof just yet. So we had a doggy door, and she'd be investigating that. She'd push on it and fall through there. Or our screen door maybe didn't latch all the time because of the wind on the Oregon coast. So she'd push on that and fall out onto the steps, and then all of a sudden she needed us. You see, she was independent, but she was dependent in her independence. Huh? She still needed adults to help her survive in life. So she was dependent in her independence. Think about that today. Because as Americans, we're the same way. We're dependent on. You ever think about that? Now, boy, we should never put politics in the middle of church, but just think about this. Just in case, you know, I know there's Democrats and Republicans, and now there's other things too. But generally, one wants free medical, right? And so you want to be dependent on America for that. And then others say, no, I don't want that. But I don't mind the roads that I drive on and things like that, so I'm kind of dependent on the government for that. Certainly, we all like police and fire protection and the military, right? Yeah, so in a way, as a country, we're dependent in our independence. If the nation were to fall, we'd be dependent on another nation, more than likely. Hopefully, that never happens. But for Americans in general, I think it's basically out of order, a little bit out of order, where we put so much emphasis on that, when really, as Christians, especially here with us today, we need to remember that we're dependent, and our independence comes from God, who I started to share earlier on. Like the founding fathers, they got it. It wasn't out of balance. They knew and followed Christ, and then it filtered down onto the independence of a country. And so sometimes in America today, we might put so much emphasis on the country, oh, and here's God over here, right? So we can't get it out of balance, just like they couldn't get it out of balance back in that day. But no matter how you look at it, we're a dependent people. And so if we Americans, in my opinion, would realize our need to be, that we truly are going to be dependent on somebody, we might as well be dependent on God. And so generally, if we can do that, like we've kind of sung about and such, that we would live out our faith in the communities, we could start to make a difference one by one. You know, we won't take a whole city like that, But each of us, if we'll pour into other people and truly love, then we'll make a difference in our country. And it's, you know, in my opinion, it was the greatest country on the planet. And maybe today people argue, and even Christians are saying, well, maybe it isn't anymore. But quite honestly, it's still the best country on the planet. And we can right that ship even more to where everybody's proud of it again as Christians. So let's change gears a minute. So that's America. Let's look at our independence as a Christian. And the truth is, again, we're not truly independent as Christians, are we? I mean, that might be a no-brainer. So let's look at the scripture again. Again, we're just going to look at the first two verses, and then we'll go to the others later. But it says, to the Jew who had believed him, so Jesus is walking around preaching and teaching and everything, and he's got their attention, and a lot of these Jews are believing in him, said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and isn't that wonderful, the next part? And the truth will set you free. So in order to have that freedom as a Christian, you must know the truth in order to understand what freedom you really have as a Christian, what we really have as a Christian. Know the truth. And so let's start with the truth. Here's some fun stuff. I won't hit on a bunch of scriptures, but here's what the Bible says. It says the truth is God's revelation of himself, the one true God. The true God revealed himself in Jesus Christ, just like we've been singing about and learning from the children's moment. Jesus is known as the truth. This is one of my favorite pieces of scripture, where John 14:6, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The gospel is the truth, so the Bible is known as the truth. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. And those who are free, get this now, from Romans 1:25, they're free because they have not exchanged the truth for a lie. So you don't exchange the truth for a lie. And the Bible says that Christians will love the truth. Do you love the truth? Or are you like Jack Nicholson in that show where he goes, you can't handle the truth. Come on, are you handling the truth? Tom Cruise? I hope so. Here's the second part about the truth. The truth is over us. The truth is over you. In verse 31, I love just critiquing Scripture like crazy. I love one words because I'm a simple kind of guy. But it says, Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So disciple, think about that for a minute. We all know this, but sometimes we got to get it out of our subconscious and put it out front. And so disciple, that means we're a learner. We're going to be a lifelong learner, a pupil of a teacher, aren't we? And it says that when Jesus said he's going to leave and ascend to heaven, he said he wouldn't leave us alone, but he'd give us a helper, a teacher, the Holy Spirit. So that's comforting to know. So the truth is over us, and we've got a teacher, we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got God the Father. It's like we are in a great position in our independence, being dependent on a holy God. So if you know the truth, then you will understand your freedom in Christ, who is the truth. So the next thing, I've got like 3 points today. The second one is this. Get this. Now this is kind of fun because I'm a word dude, like I just mentioned. So point two today is this. We're going to look at dependent and depends. Now, I thought, you know, dependent is big these days because of the IRS. It's like, guys, if you can have more children, that reduces the tax burden, doesn't it? That's called a dependent. The more dependents you have, the more money you get back or the less money you pay back. And depends, well, depends is something we won't want to talk about till later in life. But those are two important words in this story today, in this scripture, because we are dependent upon God. So now I want to look at 32, and then we're going to jump down to verse 36. But verse 32, it goes on, we've already read it, and we don't even have the verse numbers. How can we do this? This is like the Message version, isn't it? Okay, so follow along. I'll get my Bible. Ready? So 8:32, which we've already read, it says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But jump down to verse 36. Similar, it says, so if the Son, Jesus, capital S, sets you free, you will be free indeed. Free indeed. Isn't that cool? So we are dependent upon God. Verse 32, the truth sets us free. Not only sets us free, but it keeps us free. And here I go again on a word, but I was just consumed when I studied this on the word set. You know, he places us. He liberates us. He delivers us to freedom. He sets us on that place. And so it's kind of like this, as I pondered what Jesus was trying to teach me through this. And hopefully you'll get something that the Holy Spirit lays on your heart that might, like Deanna prayed, it might be the same thing, it might be something entirely different based on where he's got us in our walk with him. But it's, for me, it's kind of like letting a dog out of a kennel. or letting a bird out of a cage. Some of you like birds, I don't, but do you? Have you ever let a bird out of a cage? Right? Or how about an inmate out of a cell? Any of you been in jail? Don't raise your hand. But seriously, you either have been in jail, or you know somebody that's been in jail, or you've watched a movie, and when that release date comes, that is freedom, isn't it? It's crazy. That's what Jesus does through our faith in him and following him. He sets us free. And our little female dog, Deanna and I have two Maltese puppies. They're worthless, but they love unconditionally, so that's why they get to live and stay with us. The little one is called Minnie Cooper. The boy dog is P.T. Cruiser. Minnie Cooper is 6 pounds, little white dog. And many times, most of the day, because we pastor so much, we're never home, so she's stuck in the house all day. And that one glorious moment, you know, when we finally decide to let her outside, wham, she bolts for the door, and she's like a deer. I mean, she's just hopping and playing either in the grass, or when we were in West Virginia, the snow was this high, and you could just see her jump, you know, and then she'd disappear in the snow. But she just enjoyed that freedom. And that's how I see and can relate to what Jesus is talking about here when he's talking in John 8. And Jesus sets us free to run all over the place. Have you recognized that? Did you recognize when you said yes to Jesus the freedom and the liberation you had? It is different. Your freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, freedom from so much stuff, it's just crazy. Sometimes you can't even explain it, but you know it. You feel it. Well, one pastor put this freedom that I'm talking about this way. Listen to this, because I never thought about it this way, but it's really good. Because he says the freedom that we enjoy is the freedom not to. Because generally, when we think about freedom, we think the freedom to do, right? To. He says it's the freedom not to. I have the freedom to, but I enjoy the freedom not to. He says that many times if we enjoy the freedom to, then we will no longer have the freedom not to. You staying with me? Kind of tricky. Some people are compelled, some have no control, and others are slaves, but I am free. I've been set free. So how I make better sense of that is I look at what the Apostle Paul said. You've probably heard this before, but he said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So does that make more sense? So we're free to do a lot of things, but sometimes when we get it out of balance and just totally go after some of these things and get it out of balance, we're not really free. So you got all kinds of freedom, but it's what we do in that freedom. So we're dependent on the truth. Jesus is the truth. And he sets us, and he keeps us free. Are you liking this? All right, Independence Day, yeehaw. So much of our independence in our dependence depends on us. Isn't that tricky? Much of our independence in our dependence depends on us. So I want to make sense of this for you. Back to verse 31, Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching. Now, how many times you just rush through your reading of the Bible? Did you ever notice how one word can change everything? If you just stick to the word if you hold to my teaching, this is how it's going to go. You're going to be free indeed. If. So, I realized in my freedom, so many of you don't know me, so I can say these stories that I've told a few times to other groups that got to know me, but we kind of had an introduction, so you know a little bit about me. Some other things about me, I just lived for sports. So I love baseball, and racing, I got to race, and so I started all that stuff about the age of 6. Baseball went all the way till I had the brain injury from racing sprint cars. That's another story. But the racing, I had it for a while, and then I didn't have it, and as an adult, God gave it back to me for a period of time. And so here's the deal. Isn't it true, for those of you that know about those things, there's superstitions, isn't there? So if you're a baseball player, if you watch a College World Series or something like that, watch your kids playing summer ball, when you're down a run, you put the cap on backwards, inside out, upside down, and it's called rally cap time. It's a superstition that says if you do this with your hat, odds are we're going to get a hit or a home run and we're going to win or tie the game and win eventually, right? That's superstition. I was taught you never walk under a ladder. You heard that one before? Well, by golly, I did heating and air conditioning for 15 years, and even though I wasn't superstitious, you always just wondered, well, I better not walk under that ladder because some people are superstitious. Something might happen. And then at racing, get this. So back in the old days, I'm old. I'm 35. No, when I was 35. No, back in the day, race cars did not have sponsors on them. Do you know that? Like you watch NASCAR and you see sponsors on every car. Back in the day when I was growing up, that wasn't the case. But that one day, it finally dawned on somebody, hey, we don't have to pay for this. We can get a business to pay for it. They can write it off. Well, what happened is green on race cars was always taboo. That was bad luck. You weren't going to win. You're going to crash. So nobody had a green race car. So one day, Steve Kinzer was the most, he was like the Elvis of sprint car racing. He was the greatest. And he went to, still is, and he went to Quaker State Oil for sponsorship. You know what color Quaker State Oil bottles are? Green. All of a sudden, Steve Kinzer, the greatest sprint car racer in history, has a green race car. Isn't that funny how money changes everything? Do you know what color my first car was after I became a Christian? Green. I thought that was funny. Yeah. Even on the ladders, I have to tell you, when I became a Christian, I was still in heating and air conditioning. I walked under ladders on purpose all the time because of that freedom in Christ. I felt like a gazelle, you know? Nothing can stop me. I'm in Jesus, man. Take that, devil. You get it? I hope you see that in your freedom in Christ. But I also, here's an important piece of this freedom. Because in all that freedom and clicking my heels and living life, I held on to and I continued in my dependence on God, on Jesus. I guarded it by staying close to Him and His truth, by reading His Word. So, whether I was racing, playing sports, working, I started my day with Jesus in prayer and through His Word. And it wasn't a religious act, it was a love act. I realized how much He loved me, and I was loving Him back, and I couldn't get enough of Him. When you have a friendship, you know, compare it to friendships, marriages, when you have that newness, you never can lose that. You, if you want, it's up to you. But if you get a taste of Jesus and His love for you, it'll never grow old. It's a beautiful thing. So what I was doing is, in my freedom, I made sure that I was spending time with Him. He was the apple of my eye. And I was with Him to start my day. I was with Him and I invited Him to my day, whether it was work, race, play, whatever. And He was there when I was working, playing, or doing whatever, opening my mouth. Because I'd invited Him there. So He's living in me. He's around me. He's sitting in the stands when I'm playing. It's a wonderful thing. So the third part today is this, sustaining our freedom. First of all, sustaining our freedom in America. Boy, this is a touchy one. I just love this saying because it just startled the world. But President Obama, remember, he said, "You didn't do it. You didn't build it." Well, I wanted to use that about America. It's like, do you know we didn't create it, this independence in America? You and I, we didn't create it, did we? No. Well, God did, yes, and He used the founding fathers to declare it and create it. Those were His tools, God's tools. But us, we have a different word. And the people that fought to keep our country free, they have a different word attached to them, and it's called sustaining. Not creating, but sustaining American freedom by defending it. So that's how that works. They fought to sustain the freedom. And even this, if we never fought a war, any of us, we weren't involved, we weren't soldiers, from the people that would want to destroy and take away the freedom, we should still be doing things to sustain the freedom that they gave us. Right? What do you think? Yeah? Amen? Sometimes we say amen, huh? So here's the deal. Listen to this. I just love American history, so listen to this part. It says, this has to do with John Quincy Adams. So if you know your history on presidents, he's like 60 years later from the time we had our independence, and he was asked to do this. It was a 4th of July, just like what we've celebrated. He gave thanks some 61 years after the first one, and he realized their need to sustain that freedom. So he gave a 4th of July speech where they wanted an eyewitness. The people that were putting on the shindig wanted an eyewitness. So they got him. And here's what he said in the speech. He said, "Why is it that in America, the 4th of July and Christmas were our two top holidays?" He answered, "Is it not in the chain of human events, the birthday of a nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of a Savior?" Isn't that something? They don't say that on the news, do they? They don't print it in papers these days. So sustaining freedom depends on us, whether it's America or as a Christian. So let's look at that for a minute. Sustaining our freedom as a Christian. And now we're going to go to the rest of the story. Let's read 33 through 36. So basically, he's talking to the Jews, and he says, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be free or be set free, Jesus?" And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." Isn't that beautiful? Free indeed. So, his audience, the Jews, they want to believe him. They're starting to believe him. Some are still skeptics. But these proud Jews can walk right past what Jesus is trying to tell them about. You see, they're so hooked up on, "I'm a descendant. I'm from the seed of Abraham. I've never been under anybody's rule." And the whole time they're opening their mouth to Jesus, do you know who's over them? The Romans. Oppression. And Jesus is trying to say, that's not so much important. That's not the big picture. The big picture is this. You are not. You got to get past your national, your social, and your religious freedoms. That's not the end all. That's not going to get you anywhere. That's not going to clean up the chocolate milk like we were taught so wonderfully today. So he points him past all that. And he says, the Son, capital S, sets you free. And if he sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Free from what? First and foremost, see, not getting it out of balance, is we need Jesus, don't we? This is Christianity 101, to set us free from sin in our lives. Now listen, I don't want to get this, I don't want to forget to mention this later on, so I'm going to start right now. I'm talking to Christians and non-Christians today because I don't know you and you don't know me. So if you've asked Jesus into your heart, then the challenge is, how are you doing with keeping sin free? If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, then you're struggling with, because you don't have the peace that Jesus brings by delivering you from sins that you can't wiggle, work your way out of, or anything else. You don't have peace, you have guilt, you have separation from a holy God. So this message is for Christians and it's for non-Christians. You see, because back, if we keep looking back as our illustration, the founding fathers, you've got that King George III, the tyrant, and he was the focus. But we can relate that symbolically to evil, to the devil, and to what happens, what truly separates us from God. A God that loves us, created us for a relationship. But the founding fathers, they generally, history shows and it's printed, they ran to their God. And he set them free, spiritually speaking, through Jesus Christ. And God set them free, you see, the most important part is spiritually. And then it rolled over into physically, like as a country. But you can't bypass that most important one. So Satan is a tyrant. He tempts us in our Christian walk. He keeps us from Jesus if we've never said yes to Jesus. But these Jews, think about the pride that we can read in their words. And when you get home today, after lunch and after your Church of God nap, you can read the part, just read all of chapter 8. And it just kind of flows, even though it's different subjects. And you'll see, you'll get a better understanding of what I'm trying to say today. But they were proud, and they didn't need to be free. And I used to say that. I thought about this once I got into Arizona. I thought, you know what? I was so silly before I was a Christian. So see, just because I went to church, I'm not saved because what do we always say? That Jesus doesn't have any grandkids? Yeah, Jesus doesn't have any grandkids. Surprise! Well, both sets of my grandparents went to Church of God. They helped found Church of God. So that makes me a Christian, right? Wrong. But that's how I lived for 33 years. I thought, well, just because I'm an American and my grandparents were Christians, and I went to First Church of God in Phoenix, I'm a Christian. But deep down inside, you see, I knew I was not. And I was wrestling with sin that I could not fix inside of me. I did not have a real relationship with Jesus. I was a creation of God, but I was not his son. I was not his child. Because I'd never done I never received the free gift. I never said, Jesus, you are who you say you are. You loved me enough to die for my sins. You were sin-free. You could do it. I couldn't. Come into my heart. I receive you and the free gift of life. Cleanse me from my sins. And that's what liberated me and made me free. So, isn't that crazy how we think, though? I don't know. Maybe some of you do, or you know people that do. But that's the way we think. And it might be in pride. I don't know. But we got to get past our pride, whether we've never come to Christ or we've maybe backslidden or gotten into a lull in our walk with Jesus. Because the sin will separate us from the ultimate that Jesus died to give us, real intimacy and relationship with him. So, here's the deal. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. He sets you free, he keeps you free, you'll be free indeed, just like we read at the end of this scripture. So we've got to sustain our freedom, and that's how we sustain our freedom, is everything I was sharing with you today, that intimacy. Do everything it takes to keep the intimacy with Jesus. And this is one of the biggest ways you can do it. Somebody told me today in this congregation that life wasn't going so good when he woke up today. Is that amazing how fast life can kind of fall apart? But he's here because this is the most important part of his week. He's in God's house with God's people, and we are built up in the presence of the Lord and brothers and sisters, aren't we? Yeah. So what I usually do when I preach in my church is I call it the wrap. So the closing is the wrap. So you can start to set your clock, get ready for lunch. Here's the wrap. As Christians, we can fall prey to the temptation to trust in other things. So here's the deal. It's a subtle deal that Satan even messes with us still as Christians, and that's this. You know, maybe we committed a little sin, but we just don't confess it to the Lord right away. Because we can get busy, you see, as Americans, there's so much to do, especially in Prescott Valley. I mean, there's adult softball, isn't there? I mean, even Pastor Don plays adult softball. I'm not saying he's a sinner, but I'm just saying there's cable TV and anything you can imagine. There's shopping. There's all this stuff. You see, rather than deal with our sins, if we're not careful, we'll just get busy. So we might go after our status, put a lot of emphasis on that. We might go after money and the making of money. We might go after good works and feel good about ourselves. We might associate with associations that make us feel good. And we can, what we're really doing is going, nah, 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 because the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, let's get that right. You know, you sinned. Let's restore that relationship. And we're over here just being busy bees. And everybody knows we can talk Christian and, you know, we're still Christian. But the separation is there. We can go to rodeos that are 100 years old. And none of that stuff that I just mentioned, don't get me wrong, is bad. But it's just getting it out of balance. So basically the question I might ask is, what are you trusting in today? Woo! What's the real truth versus the false truth? Have you fallen for some false truth? Because quite honestly, in my opinion, the 4th of July is a great time to think about this freedom that we have in Christ, that we are privileged to live and be able to worship a God in a free country to date. We've got a lot to click our heels about. And if we can't do it because our back hurts or something, inside our spirit can be hopping like a deer in a meadow. And that's what I'm talking about. The freedom that's found in Jesus is so much more valuable than American freedom, any other kind of freedom that you might be thinking about while I'm talking. But the founding fathers, they had it right. They had it in the right order. They were sold out for Jesus, which led them to be able to fight for a cause, to fight for freedom on the land, to sustain freedom as a new country and as a people. The truth. So the real truth of freedom is that you can be set free from sin, right, and from death, from evil. And that's some pretty good stuff to start with. And then, once you got all that big stuff out of the way, you got the freedom to love, L-O-V-E. How are you doing on that? Pretty good? Are you, you know how Jesus simplified that, right? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and hate your neighbor. No? Love your neighbor. Yeah. But it's only he. In that relationship, you can do the impossible. Some days, don't you think, when you read that? It's like, are you kidding me, God? What kind of sense of humor do you have? Love that person? That neighbor? You know, and my biggest fear was that that person would be my neighbor in heaven for eternity. So I better get it right on earth. What do you think? Yeah, that's the deal. So here's the biggest thing. So think about that freedom and everything we talked about, everything that Jesus was teaching in John 8. And then what it should cause us to do is think about the freedom for everybody. So yes, do we have a country and we want everybody in America to be free? And as Americans, we would love to see the world be free, that nobody is under bondage and slavery of any type. But more than anything, fellow Christians, you should care that the people that are unchurched, that haven't said yes to Jesus, one day come to say yes to Jesus and embrace him. And that's what we're called to. Yeah. And that's a wonderful privilege. There's nothing like it. And I'll tell you one more story. You want one more racing story? And then we'll close and we'll go to lunch. We'll pray and then we'll go to lunch. Here's the deal. So I had the privilege of racing as an adult. I never thought it would come back. And then God, it was like a carrot as I was hanging on to the Lord. He said, race these. And it was always my dream to race 800 horsepower sprint cars. And they were on a dirt track, if you don't know what they are, an oval dirt track. And this one had a wing on it. So when you go into the corner, you don't turn, even though you're making a left turn. The car is set up so that it goes left on its own. So real men drivers and real women, because there's women drivers that are very good, we don't let off. The goal, if you're going to win, is you don't let off the throttle when you're seeing the corner come, and you don't hit the brakes. You're a wimp if you do. No, something's wrong if you don't. So I thought, the first chance I got, man, I am not letting off. I don't care if that wall's pointing, facing me. I am not letting off because I've dreamed of this moment. And I was at Manzanita Speedway that's no longer there, but it was in Phoenix, Arizona. It was one of the meanest sprint car tracks, like the Indy 500. And so I got to race on it for the first time. And I mean, I'm going 150 miles an hour. Kind of, it might be a fish story, 137 miles an hour. And down the back straightaway, what happens is that's where all the car haulers come across the track to get in the infield. So just about the time you're going to enter the corner, you go over a whoop-de-doo like this, and you're wondering if your tail is ever going to sit back in the seat again in time to turn the corner. But I'm not letting off because I've waited for this time. And it's so exhilarating. The car really turned, even though I didn't turn the steering wheel and I didn't let off the throttle. The car turned on its own. And I go, wow, that's the most exhilarating high I've ever had in my life. But you know what's more than that? Sharing Jesus with someone that says yes. I'm telling you. And so I'm praying. That's my prayer for you today. In your freedom, as a Christian and as an American, may we all get busy and ask for God, seek God, and then ask him for the privilege of investing in somebody else's life. Getting the trust level with them where they dare to ask us the question, what's the hope within you? And then you have the words. It doesn't even have to be quoted from the King James. You can just use your own words and lead them to Christ, okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time in your presence in your house. I love you, Lord, and I love the way you are a supernatural God where somehow, even though we've never met, we have a connection. We know we're brothers and sisters connected by a holy God. And then you do amazing things through it, like what you did with the music and how you organized the schedule of events in the worship hour when we didn't even talk to one another. You reminded me also last night of a man that needed your word so bad, and he's walking in the woods on an abandoned railroad track, speaking to you, wanting answers, and he forgot his Bible to go on that quiet journey of meditation. And he prayed, and there was a Bible on the railroad tracks in the middle of nowhere. How does that happen? God and God alone. That's your love. So, Father, we thank you for the privilege of being King's kids. We thank you for the privilege of living in a free country and being free to worship you and talk about you. And we just ask, Father, that you give us the boldness and the power and the love for you, the opportunity to share your love with others in our family, with complete strangers, and even, Lord, as funny as it sounds to the world, even with our enemies. I pray over this church, Father. I pray over these people that you bless their socks off as they hunger and thirst after you and after what righteousness is, as they desire to grow in maturity in you, as the journey is for Deanna and I. We never want to stop. We're never going to get lazy. We want more of you each day, just like a big goal. And so, Father, may you bless this church and use it to reach Prescott Valley, Prescott, the county, and the ends of the earth. And may they celebrate each Sunday when they see how they've been used by you for kingdom purposes. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you.